This is the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Matagy Digital.
All right. Today we are talking about something that I say often, and we're going to break it down and see how an episode goes on it. And that is chaos is expensive. So something I say quite often. What are your initial thoughts, Matt, when I say that? Chaos is expensive.
I don't know how many times you've actually said it, but I know for a fact that this came up during a conversation, specifically during our retreat, where we talked about how comfortable and calm I am now that I've really sat down, put some pen to paper, thought about planning, got all of the chaos in my head on paper. And I think at one point there you said, well, like, yeah, like chaos is expensive because like all the chaos going on in my head and misdirection and actions that are going on and kind of just flying by the seat of your pants. But it was a really, really, really good line. I think I wrote it down right away.
Yeah, I really like it. And I think it comes, you know, there's lots of ways to look at it. One is just that, you know, if your chaos is in your head, you've got a million ideas. You're not sure, you know, how many of those you can do. You start some ideas and pause some and trying to do too much. And you end up just completely wasting time, which is expensive if you're not earning during that time. So the opportunity cost is huge if you're sort of chaotically going after all of these different activities. You're not sure what you're going to do. You're more likely to have false starts on stuff. You're more likely to jump into poor decisions, like could be, you know, hiring other people or other services that you're not set up to take advantage of. And it's just throwing money away.
I think it's difficult to start a business and not have any chaos.
There's always going to be chaos and it's going to be expensive, but it's, you know, removing as much of the unnecessary chaos as possible.
Absolutely. Like your best intentions are to not have chaos and it's going to happen. We're weeks away from opening Thrive Coworking Community and I'm extremely calm, but in my head, there's things that come up every day that I'm like, oh shoot, did we think about this? Thankfully, so far we have. So, and I'm like very much reserved to the fact that I understand that's going to be chaos. This is not my first rodeo. This is at least like the third business that I've launched in 3 years. I know what I'm going to be like and how it is going to be. And it is going to be chaos. Like literally every day. Like once last week, I'm like, did we think about buying garbage cans?
Yeah.
There's something else that came up last week too. I'm like, I hope that the office manager thought about buying a mop or a broom or something like that. So there's always going to be chaos, especially when you're opening a business. My advice to people that are opening a business or starting a business and they feel as if it's chaos and they don't know if that's right for them is you need to embrace the fact that it is going to be chaos and be comforted by that. It's almost like a meditation or an exercise in meditation where it is about understanding your surroundings, being prepared for being unprepared, feeling everything, that emotion that's going on. Just be prepared that it's going to be chaos at first, especially.
Yeah, I think there's the organized chaos and planned chaos. And in so many ways, being a business owner is embracing that chaos.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to do. But that's where you create, you know, your value. And that's where, you know, profit's going to come from eventually. So you need that certain level of chaos to be able to function. I think the other place is in your operations, as you're growing, as you're looking to be more profitable, is just trying to remove the unnecessary chaos where you can. One of the things I've noticed in different engagements I've worked on is just how disorganized some businesses are. And that chaos is expensive. So things like not knowing who your customers are, you know, if you're, you know, if you need a database of clients and contact information, and then you need to go hunting for that sometimes, like that's unnecessary chaos that costs money. You know, knowing your operations, having a standard workflow, you know, having project management software. If you try to just run all of that by the seat of your pants, it can get chaotic when your volumes get higher, and that is expensive as well. Especially if you've invested in things like marketing and your business starts growing and you don't have that foundation, you just end up in a nonstop cycle of chaos, and it's just costing you money sort of everywhere.
How is it costing money?
Well, one is you're not earning money as smoothly as you'd like to be. So there's a cost to that. You also could be overpaying for admin as well. So as you grow and scale, you know, there are certain elements of your business that should be getting sort of cheaper and cheaper. And without proper sort of systems and efficiencies in place, some people just keep scaling that more and more. So it's, you know, costing you literal dollars if you're just paying people to do things that are unnecessary because it's, you know, chaotic.
It's extra products and services that you're paying for when you may have just made a quick decision or not planned something out, and then realize, okay, you just spent $100, $1,000, $10,000 on something that you really don't need anymore, and it's terribly inefficient. So I think it was probably a year ago when I started reading Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. I'm sure people are probably super annoyed with us bringing Donald Miller up in this podcast again. But it might be one of the first times I brought it up, not you. But I read that book when? I think it was a year ago. I think it was January, February of last year. That would make some sense. No, it was a bit after that. Anyways, this is too long now. But I started reading that. And I think within the first page or two, I recognized I need to rewrite my website. So like new messaging for my whole website. And that would have been, say, Q1 of 2021. And I spent a lot of time thinking about it. And then probably we're now January 2022. So about 6 months ago in the summer of 2021, I realized, okay, I do need to do new messaging and rewrite my copy. And then in October, I took that thought from my brain and I wrote it down. And now this month, now like a full year, I started to really evaluate what is involved in all of that. So how do I go about doing it? It should be very simple to just rewrite the copy, rewrite the words, redo the messaging. But there's ways that you can approach all these different tactics and angles. And the things that I'm having to weigh now, I'm not going to make a decision on this anytime soon because it's going to cost anywhere from, it's going to be like, I want to say $3,000, but it's going to be more than that. It's going to be like $3,000 to $10,000 to redo everything. And a lot of people that have never done marketing or redone a website probably aren't going to understand where those costs come from. That's a different conversation. I'm happy to explain all of that, but there's a lot that goes into rewriting stuff. There's a lot that goes into rebranding yourself essentially with messaging. It's not just, I'm going to go on my website or change my business card or change social and do all this stuff. There's a lot that goes into it. And a friend of mine that knew I was going to be going down this path, she was like, what's going on with your website? We're doing some social stuff together. She's like, this social stuff that we're doing doesn't even sound like you anymore. And I was like, I know, it hasn't sounded like me in a year. It's like my own personal internal nightmare. But I said, no one else knows what's going on in my head. And no one else knows that it's not in line with how I feel and what I do anymore exactly. So there's no pressure there. It's just internal pressure. And I outlined my, okay, I'm re-looking at that again in March. And then worst case scenario, I'll make a decision by June because it has to be done technically in my head by the end of this year. And she's like, wow, like you're really patient. I'm like, you have to be patient though, because otherwise it's going to be so costly. I don't like, this will actually be the third time I've rewritten my website in 3 years of doing it. I finally feel as if I'll be at a point where it'll kind of be done forever at that point. That's not true. Even as I say that, you laugh, and I know it's not true. I know it's like things are going to change. Things are going to evolve. But you have to do things in like the most efficient, cost-effective way for your business. And it could be costly. If it's already been costly. It's cost me a couple grand to write the website twice from day one. This time it's going to cost me like $6,000, $5,000 to $6,000. And then if I'm going to turn around a year from now and it's going to cost the same, that's a mistake. That was chaos being expensive. I need to eliminate the chaos in this decision to make sure, do I have something that's going to set me up for, let's be kind and say, 3 years? Am I willing to pay for that? That's not chaos. That's properly planning and making sure this makes the most sense over time.
Yeah. And I think you just nailed sort of the balance of that chaos. And it also loops in something I recently read, which is, you know, talk about business owners and CEOs. And one of the leadership elements of that is sort of knowing what's next after what's next.
Yeah.
So again, I think there is layering in some patience. And we've talked before how a lot of people want to always talk about hustle culture. And there is that balance of not waiting too long and, you know, launching to get something out there and going. But it's knowing what's going to cost, you know, too much chaos and knowing when to be patient. Also the reality of what it really will take in terms of an investment and time. And your business is at the stage now, you're several years in, where it makes sense to do that.
Yes.
You know, let's set it up for multiple years because you have a better sense now of who you are, what you're doing, what you want to do. So it's setting up for that. Whereas I think the opposite of that is people who invest too quickly.
Sure.
In maybe too high level of messaging. And this, you know, I think of myself going back to when I was first suddenly sort of unemployed, launched into, you know, a business, didn't really take the time to think about what I wanted to do. It was sort of like throw a bunch at the wall. And I way over invested in sort of a website copy without really thinking it. Now, of course, I'm the exact opposite. I've been through that chaos and now set up my business to help people avoid that that kind of chaos. But it was just a complete waste of money because it was chaotic. And I didn't really invest the time. I didn't find the right coach to guide me through some of those things that I should have done and should have known better at the time, which again is a mistake that in a way was also an investment that's going to make me money over time because I have that story and I know how to not do that anymore.
Was it a mistake though? I want to jump in. Like, do you think that was a mistake? Because I think you're being hard on yourself. And I don't think I made a mistake when I said, like, I've done my website twice. This will be the third time in 3 years. I don't think that those were mistakes though. I think it was a learning curve. The first one was, what do I do? I got to get myself out there. Give me money. I will do work if it even kind of is marketing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they got to me where I am now. So.
Yeah, it's true. I think for me, I'm a bit hard on myself and there's elements and it's based on things I knew at the time where I questioned myself and then I was like, no, I'm taking the leap. When I think I could have did something a bit different and maybe scaled back a little bit or focused a little more. So I see it as kind of a mistake. I mean, do I regret it? I don't know that I would totally redo it. It's one of those regrets that lead or like things you don't really regret because they've led you to a place where you're better.
Oh, for sure.
Right. So yeah, I'm going to break it down and say it's a mistake, but again, I think it's worked out okay. And I think in any business, you know, and we talk about this before, and I don't know if we have, maybe we have several podcasts where we will touch on it in the future. Like, you're going to waste some money. as a business, and you're going to try some things that just don't work. So you have to try to eliminate the chaos as much as possible. But you're still going to have some, and it's still going to cost money. And that's why you need to, you know, make sure you're set up to really capitalize on the stuff that works.
Yeah. And there's chaos all around us, because even as you were telling that story, I think I know what you're talking about. And I'm not going to name names or go into the situation, but I also think it was a little bit about the process of what you were working with on there that made that website situation maybe not as you expected or as you wanted or would have come to know now. And that's about processes with that company specifically. Like, they had poor logistics. They had poor planning and maybe not the best processes or whatever. So that chaos, it was expensive. It's expensive for them because they're spending a lot of time and resources on redoing things, inefficiencies, fixing mistakes, fixing errors. It's probably going to cost them business from you. It's going to cost them business from other people you kind of shrug about when you're asked of them. Like it's a ripple effect, the chaos, right?
Yeah, that's a good angle to put that in. And that, I think, you know, if we bring in some more Donald Miller language, it's being the guide with the plan.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing what that plan is. And that's when I know you've embraced that. And for me, it's my yearly theme, really, is be the guide with the plan. So whatever I'm doing with somebody, with a customer, with, you know, the various hats I wear, it's really trying to focus on sort of why are we here? What am I guiding people through? And then how do I make that a three-step plan? Because people like three-step plans. They don't like 25-step plans that sort of go into the fog. And part of that is how you eliminate that chaos and the confusion. So when you're operating your business, you know, having that process set up, communicating all the things you need to make, you know, it's going to avoid people sort of wasting their money on you and then being mad at you. Or it's just going to help you, you know, be more efficient in delivering what you do and get paid for it.
Yeah, for sure. What's the biggest chaos that you're experiencing right now with your business?
Ooh, for me, I think it's, for me, the chaos is balancing my, I wear different hats, and there's my business. I work for, you know, Greg Evans. I teach at Fleming. My biggest chaos is really, what is it that I want Profit Coach to be? Because there's so many things it could be. There's so many ways I can help people, but it's calming that down and being the, okay, here's the plan. I'm the guide. Here's the plan. Here's the things that I can really help with, and try to capture all of those things that I do and, you know, frameworks I have for success and bringing them down to one plan. And that's not super easy to do. I think it's a blessing and a curse that I am kind of good at lots of different elements, but it's making them flow together that's challenging, and nobody else really does it. Like, I've had lots of people tell me, like, you know, no one else thinks the way you think or has the same skill set that you have, but it's transforming that into a, hey, I'm a guide with a plan. Let people know what I can help them with, and then being able to deliver on that.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I know you very well, so I'll try to explain. I think where you're probably stuck more than anything too is you've talked about you're not a fast starter, where like you like to accumulate as much facts and information, and I think that probably slows you down too. Where me, I might be the opposite, where you give me an idea, I'm like, sweet, here's how we execute this. 1, 2, 3, we can be live in X amount of time or whatever. So I think you need to find someone, I think I help you a little bit with this, like that can kind of push you to make sure you're like, okay, Brian, figure it out, get it out there. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And that's the, again, the part two from a business standpoint. This is a different kind of conversation, but I think it fits actually really well with the chaos is I'm very much, I think, a value-driven professional. I can make money based on my professional skills, but in terms of building a business that's repeatable and profitable, it's cracking that nut. And part of it is I love learning and adopting new things, making new ideas sort of real. But when it comes to tweaking and repeating them, I almost get bored of it sometimes, or I move on to like something else before I've like done that one justice. And I think I, you know, one of the things, again, being the guide with the plan is having those plans and repeating some of those things without getting too far ahead of myself.
Yeah, that's a good point. And being a value-driven professional, you probably hate a lot of coaches and what they actually do and provide, and it's often not value. And you, we're having like a counseling session. You don't want to be perceived as that coach that is just rah, rah, how much you want to make this year? 1 million, how about 10 million? You want to actually provide like legit value and put together, whether it's like a course or a program for the people that you're working with. And that's probably what's the biggest concern for you.
Yeah, I think so. And it's not being the cheerleader. It's having something that's, you know, more and goes beyond that. And I think that, you know, definitely exists. There's some sort of content and, you know, programs for that. And I think, again, long-term, I think one of the, I think, strengths to delaying some of those things is things actually end up getting launched better than if they're launched sloppy sometimes, or they've been thought out and then radically simplified. So that's the other thing I can do is I think I've tried to be, sort of a maximizer. I've tried to complicate things before, but I think I do my best when I simplify them. So sometimes it's that plan of like, hey, I've learned these 500 things. Here's the three that are the most impactful. And like, let's just focus on those three. And that I think kind of removes the chaos as well. Because there's our coaches and there's, you know, the rah-rah, like let's go for 10 million and let's do these 800 activities that you need to do, and then you can't possibly do it.
Right.
Whereas, you know, what are the core things you need to do? And that's like, you know, Donald Miller and StoryBrand. We've talked about it a bit. I think it's a core fundamental, being the guide with the plan, and then simplifying your finances so you understand them and actually are making money. Because that's the other chaos is expensive, is you can do all these things. You can be making huge amounts of revenue, but at the end of the day, you're not making profit, or you're not making enough profit for everything that you're doing. And sometimes just simplifying that and eliminating the chaos is going to make you more profitable.
Yeah. I think you already said marketing, so I'm not going to be the first one to say it. But also, marketing can be so chaotic and expensive if you don't have a plan with it. And most of the time, people, when they come and talk to me and they say they know what they need, most of the time they're actually right, probably about half the time, which is pretty good. But even then, there's ways to improve it. Or sometimes there's people that are just completely out to lunch. And they heard that video is good, so they really think video is the way to go. Or they think that social media makes sense. Usually the people talk about getting found on Google. Like they kind of know what's up at least. But I always think and that's probably one of the reasons why marketing, one of the many reasons why marketing fails and marketing sucks, is because they go down like a route that just does not make any sense. It was never going to work. I see posts all the time from people on social media, some of which I've shared with Brian. I saw a couple last week by someone else I meant to send you. I'll send you later, where it was just like, and I know these people, and I'm like, what did you think you were going to achieve with this? What is a post like this going to do? Why are you putting that out there? And then you're going to have people say, oh, we tried social media and it didn't do anything for us. And I'm like, trying and doing it even somewhat well are very, very, very different things. And that's why marketing sucks, is you can go down like a route that doesn't make sense for you and you have to completely backpedal. Or I don't know how much detail you want to get into about the accountants that we spoke to, that after a year, they were working with people on social media for their brand. And I think they did a website for them, and social media is not right for what they were doing. Their website's not great. Is it serviceable? Maybe. It could be a heck of a lot better. And the conversation we had with them, again, I'm not going to name names or be negative, but the conversation he had was like, whoa, what you guys are proposing is really expensive. And I'm like, yeah, especially considering you spent a year of money on bad marketing already. So basically double. If you had spoken to us a year ago, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. You wouldn't be talking to other people or whatever. And they recognized like they probably like they had to continue down that path because they spent so much money already going down the wrong one that I don't think that he could have turned around and maybe done anything to save that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's hard. And that is a great, you know, example of chaos being expensive. And it also reminds me of, you know, there's the book, The One Page Marketing Plan by Alan Dibb, I believe. And he talks about random acts of marketing.
Yeah.
What most people do are random acts of marketing. And that is like a very expensive brand of chaos, right? They don't have a plan. They don't have cohesive messaging. They're just off doing stuff. And, you know, as you said, you put this post out there and there's no controlling idea for the post. It doesn't feed into reinforcing any sort of messaging. It doesn't take the customer anywhere. It's just completely sort of random. And it's a complete waste of time and money, which again is the type of chaos that is expensive.
Yeah, I also don't think that most people will be aware of that and recognize that it was not the marketing's fault. It was not the finance fault or whatever. I think people are like, well, it is marketing's fault. It wasn't my fault because I don't know how to do marketing. It wasn't my fault because I hired my nephew who doesn't know anything about marketing. You know what I mean? So like people need, and I'm going to go off, but like I think people need to start evaluating like how they're spending their money, how they're planning things to avoid this chaos. It doesn't need to be so expensive. You could work with people that know what they're doing, work with experts, work with who's that we've spoken about again and again. There's ways around all of this. If we as business owners stop for a minute, hop off our pedestal and realize like we're not the best at everything, we need to hire the best, or like they don't even need the best. Need to hire someone above average, even. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I understand, like, the best might be too expensive for you in this time, in this situation, but hire someone that's above average. If you believe you're above average business, you should be working with other people that are above average.
Yeah, that's really good. And that's a Dan Sullivan, Who Not How, which is another book we talk about a lot. But I heard Dan recently talk about sort of the basis of that book, but also like him saying, you know, if I'm going to do something, like, why wouldn't I want to work with the best in the world at it? Like, that's the who, not how, is like, you know, I'm not the expert at, say, getting leads. So why don't I just work with the best person in the world at getting leads? And again, maybe you can't afford that or spend the time hunting that down, but at least, you know, hire someone who kind of knows what they're doing, has some track record of that. I also get sometimes you're investing in people who are developing that skill set, but at least develop somebody who's like eager to learn that and provide results, not just, oh, yeah, I'll do that for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they just sort of end up doing random stuff as well. I mean, that's another tangent, but again, another example of chaos. And I think it just, you know, as much as we don't want to delay our businesses too much, but taking those like timeouts, couple hours a month or whatever that is, to just calm things down, clarify some things, is going to, you know, make you a lot of money in the long run and save you a lot of money in the short term.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Any final thoughts?
Trying to rack my brain. I feel like I just ended on like a somewhat calm rant at the end there, but like we talked about this whole way through, chaos happens. Sometimes you need to embrace it. There are ways to make it not so expensive though, and to like truly think things out. I think again, the theme, and we talk about this a lot lately, is just planning things and getting things out on paper and having a plan or a strategy on how to tackle some of these things. Like you don't need to, it doesn't need to be chaos all the time. Like there's fires you can put out and little forest fires that you can prevent along the way.
Awesome. I like it. We'd love to work with your business. You're listening to this right now and you're thinking, oh, I got a lot of chaos going on. You know, my business is built around reducing that chaos. Matt's is as well. I think together we could help you reduce that chaos expense, help you feel calmer about where you're going, and you know, make sure you're not throwing away too much money. So we'd love to help you do that. Check us out at kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca, or just fire us up an email at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.